Hey, welcome to Stalking Spurs, the podcast that's 40-ish minutes of football-adjacent frivolity. Hi, I am Acid. Hey, co-host Patty, what's up?
Hey, co-host Acid, we're back.
We are, after hiatus.
Unplanned
hiatus. You know, you move countries and then it swallows up your life, but we are back on track and we have a great episode. So on this episode, loads to talk about. Number one, the players are hanging out without us. They're hanging out without us, Patty. And there's evidence. There's photo evidence on Ben Davis's Instagram. But it's okay because we can track them down from this one gently out of focus pub selfie. We have identified the pub. We know where it is. We'll walk you through it. Also, if that's not enough, we also do a deep dive into Daddy Davis's new podcast guest appearance. So he's in a pod that we've never heard about before, but we listened to it, we learned lots, and there's loads to talk about. Lastly, of course, there's BB of the Week. Spoiler alert, there's lots of content from the Larissas living it up in LA.
I love it.
I love
it. You guys are neighbors now.
Well, yeah, I've been trying to, that's the next thing on the stalking agenda. We want to try to find that. Well, anyway, let's leave that for later for now. But first, it's First Off Football. Let's welcome our football correspondent, Toby. Hey, Toby.
Hello, good afternoon.
Oh, hey, Toby. It's so good to see your face. Guys, you have a different glow in LA, I have to say.
It's that Southern California sunshine. It's just glorious. It's quite different from Edinburgh. There's so many good things to say about Edinburgh, but the sun isn't one of them.
The sun may not be one of them, but I mean, we've got some. Do we have any Scottish players? No, we don't.
We don't have Scottish players.
We've got a bit of a grudge with Scottish players. They seem to revel in elbowing Sonny in the face and taking Udogie out. Looking at you, John McGinn, that was a terrible straight red. Very well deserved. But we love Scotland.
Yes.
We love Scotland. We hate their players, or at least don't like them much. And so that was a great segue into, I guess, are we just going to go into that thrashing?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, yes. Well, why not?
It was an early morning match on the California. So the California time issue, lots of sun, not a great time for Premier League football, unfortunately. So it was at the crack of dawn out here. So we ended up watching highlights. But what a way to wake up. Like, not what I was expecting in the least. Villa is a red hot team. They're a terrific team. So I was not expecting that performance. What a great way to kind of, you know, set ourselves up for the closure of the season. With, you know, four goals, four different players, Werner scoring. What a great, great result.
Yeah, actually, we went into this feeling pretty like the day of or the day before, kind of like, you know what? Let's manage our expectations here. They're a good team. It's going to be with them. If we come out with a draw, that's fine. And part of me was like, if we lose this, at least I'm ready. Yeah. So to check the score first thing in the morning, I was like, what? And you saw this unfold in real time.
Yes, I did. It was a little wild. And honestly, once the goals started coming, I was at home and I think I was in the dining room table and my flatmates were watching TV. And I was just yelling intermittent moments. And they were like, what's happening? I'm like, no, we scored. They thought something wrong had happened. And so it was pretty wild. I mean, honestly, seeing Brennan, Johnson, Ricarlison, and then like Werner, like, you're right, it is XOXO Timo Werner. Please continue watching Gossip Girl. Do whatever you need to do. It was glorious. Honestly, this felt like there's that meme I think I sent you where it's like, oh my God, I'm so excited for a game. And then they start playing the game and then your energy goes down. And then it's like first half, second half, and it goes down and goes down. And then last 10 minutes, it goes all the way up. And then you're ending with like, I love this team. That's kind of how it felt. And so
it was.
In true Tottenham fashion, it was just glorious. I really am so happy that McGinn got his comeuppance. He's been incredibly terrible to us. And we've had so many, like you said, I think like broken ACLs or whatever. Torn ACLs.
So they're like Thugs FC. And I feel like they have such a long history of injuring our players. So this felt so sweet and delicious to me. Yum, yum, yum. More, please.
I think there's a little clip of Ben Tancor just leaving a little something on Matty Cash as well for his tackle the other day that injured Ben Tancor. So, yeah, definitely bad blood between the sides. So it was good to get the result. But it was just, yeah, it's an interesting comparison, not to jump too quickly ahead, but because it's so markedly different from the result against Fulham, like just a quick look at the stats shows the performance like wasn't that different, surprisingly. And really the only difference is the big misses, because we had, you know, several, you know, moments in the Fulham game where we just missed an absolute sitter. And that was the difference. And they played really well, Fulham, to their credit, and really took their chances and really strong counterattacks. So it's funny how the performances weren't a million miles apart in terms of quality, but we just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net against Fulham.
Well, which is wild, because we've had like a crazy long streak of what, 30-something games where we consistently score.
Yeah.
So it felt kind of sad for it to kind of peter out that way.
Yeah.
To be fair, was it like, is this the first time we haven't scored at all?
In like, I think it's in like 39 games or something. Oh, it was the first time we haven't scored.
Oh, man. I try not to think of these silly stats. It would have been the 40th.
Yeah. But we had chances, we had a lot of shots, just not many of them on the face of the goal, unfortunately. But it wasn't, I don't think the scoreline really reflected the game. I mean, we were in it for lots of the game. They just played really clinically, I feel like.
I mean, honestly, it was a sad loss, but I'm still not over the fact that we've just been, I think, on like a pretty good like streak.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so I'll take it.
Yeah, the vibes are definitely good. We're still, you know, getting players back from injury. And I mean, Mickey had a bit of a scare, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he might miss a couple games. But yeah, it definitely feels like we're arriving at a good kind of consistent point going into the close of the season. And we've got a really nice run at the end where we play kind of the top three, don't we? Arsenal, Liverpool, City, right towards the end. So we could be the sort of title deciders. So I think the bind we're in slightly, having beaten Villa, is I think expectations are now so high, and our fan base always seems to have this double-edged thing of jumping on players who aren't performing and also expecting the absolute most from everybody. And it's just never how I relate to the team. Like, I'm already, if we're in the top six, like, I'm pretty happy. But some of the fan base seems to think that's, like, sheer cowardice. But I think we're already overperforming. If we get Europa, I think that's a really, really good result.
And right now, we're in a Europa place. Yeah. I think we're fifth.
Oh, yeah?
So if we maintain that.
I think the team has been really, I thought this was going to be a rebuild season. It's Andrew's first, no? Like, it's kind of wild that it feels like he's been here forever when...
Yep.
He just joined the team. Yes, we've gotten some new players in, but it's still season one. It's a rebuild. And I mean, where we were last year, I know that you're saying at this point, blah, 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 what are we expecting? But I think this is an exceeds expectations if we were going to do one of those like performance review type things. So yeah. I'm just happy that, considering all the injuries we had before like the new year, and I don't know how we're even here. We drew to Everton. Yeah, we lost to Wolves.
Yeah.
Yes, we lost to Fulham. But all these wins, the Crystal Palace one, that was another insane one. Brighton, Brentford. Yeah. Like, there's so much to be hashtag grateful for. I know a point is a point, 3 points are 3 points, but honestly, I'm really happy. And maybe I just have low standards.
Yeah, yeah. And from like from a stalker perspective, like seeing the players happy in the content they churn out and the Spurs official stuff that they do, the like morning ambush with questions.
Oh yeah.
They all seem to be super like good vibes. Yeah. And I love that. And that seeing them happy makes me happy. So yeah, I wouldn't change anything.
Definitely. Yeah, exactly. The happiness, the positivity, and like the individual breakthroughs we've had throughout the season. Look at Brennan Johnson having more assists than Doku of City, and I think as many as Foden, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he's absolutely shone Richardson, like, being, you know, the best Brazilian in the Premier League and one of the best strikers. So all, and Werner getting back on the score sheet. Like, these are breakthrough performances across the pitch. Like, Udogie having a great season. Romero having a great season. So, yeah, I will more than happily take the 3-0 medicine to Fulham if it means the general vibe of the team is definitely on the up and up.
Mm-hmm. And Vibes FC is all we have, but you know what? We have a couple more games coming up, as you know, and we would never, ever end this, or this section rather, without doing our look forward. And there is a whole bunch to look forward to. I mean, my gosh, we have this all the way to the end, but I think maybe we talk about the April games because that's what's coming up. So we have Luton Town at home, West Ham away, Nottingham Forest at home, Newcastle away. And then the Man City one, is it postponed? Is it like, I guess we don't have a date yet. And so then Arsenal. So that's five games. Yeah.
There's some vital ones here. I think they're like West Ham away, Newcastle away are really important fixtures for us because they're definitely winnable, both of them. I mean, but yeah, especially with the three kind of elite clubs we have coming after that at the end, like we really need to capture these points where we can get them. So we're going to have to try and be really clinical in those tough matches.
I mean, Acid, Toby, you know what I'm going to ask.
Yeah, you know what? Again, I'm looking at this. Yeah, I think we could win all of these, but I have a strong feeling that we're going to lose to either Burnley or Sheffield United or something like that. But everything else,
yeah,
we're going to freaking crush it and score 5 goals each. Yeah.
City is absolutely shaking in their boots. They know what's coming. They know we're going to derail them at the worst possible time. They are dreading that match. So, yeah, maximum points.
Yeah, I have like a caveat for that. If it looks like they need a win to beat Arsenal we'll throw the top of the table, I'm happy to throw it.
Oh, for sure.
And even like blatantly. Like, I don't.
Yeah, Vicario, turn around, throw it in your own net.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely.
What about you? What are your feelings?
I mean, I would love to say maximum points, but I feel like there will be maybe like one or two draws. So I'll just say like, I don't know, out of 15. It's five, right? 5 games possible. I'd say like 12. What? Yeah. Yeah. But it's maximum in my head. Maximum, but yeah. I'm hedging because you got to hedge a little. Yeah. Because I'm scared.
You got to hedge.
But and like three of those points are going to be against Arsenal for sure.
Exactly. Oh, gotta be. Exactly. No, for sure, for sure, for sure. I was just talking to Soren and we were like, what do we do? What do we want with the City Arsenal game? Or I think it's I think it's Bayern. Yeah. Bayern, the Munich Arsenal game.
Oh, yes.
And he's like, if Bayern wins, Harry's happy, but it hurts us. And if Arsenal wins, And if Arsenal wins, obviously we're sad, but it hurts. I don't know how that fucks.
I think the gloating Arsenal would have of knocking Harry out of a trophy would be too much to bear. So I got to be rooting for Munich in this one.
Yeah, I think it's if Munich wins, Harry's happy, but our coefficient goes down, I think, or something like that. Okay. Tottenham's, I mean. So
I think in this moment, my hatred for Arsenal is stronger and I really want Harry to win a trophy.
I want Harry to win a trophy. He's going to win it. We're going to get maximum points. Everything will be good. Toby?
Kois.
It's good to see you. And we'll see you again next time with maximum points. And we are back. Welcome back to Stalking Spurs, supposedly the football podcast that isn't just about football. And you know what? It's time. It's time to live out the ethos and the founding principles of this podcast to stalk the Spurs squad. So I think like 2 weeks ago or so, I saw this Instagram story that essentially, or actually it was Ben Davis. He posted this multi-photo post 2 weeks ago, and it's a photo dump, and it says Q1. What a freaking hipster. I love it. Of course, Benny Boo is. Anyway, the point here is that there is a group photo. Acid, just jump in when you want to. I'm going to monologue this because the experience was wild. So in this photo, we see, you know, Benny Boo, Sonny, Skippy, Madders, Brennan, and Mickey, and a person who is cropped out that we cannot even recognize. And is he an Academy player? I don't know.
I don't know.
The point is, they're in a pub. It's clearly a pub. Sonny's in a fucking bucket hat, because why not? Matters is wearing shades inside the pub. It's just a lot of good things happening. Right outside, in the upper right corner of the photo, right, is a window. Guys, you have to click on this link so you see me describing it. There is a window, and on the window, you will see outside, there is a street sign. This is way more than enough information for Acid and I to go into a deep dive. And so I tried reading it out. It says Gloucester. I never know how to say Gloucester. Basically, if it's phonetic, it's Gloucester, guys. It's Gloucester if it's phonetic. But in a true English fashion, it's probably Gloucester. Okay? Avenue. So of course, what does one do? Go on freaking Google Maps, baby. And you go to every pub on that street and look at the interiors to see which it is. So I gave Acid some leads, but leave it to Acid to be able to find it, guys.
I mean, like, credit where it's due, because this street sign is not clear. It's very fuzzy. And like, neither of us lives in London, so we're not familiar with the street names and how they look and how to like read it clearly. Yeah. Guys, so this actually took a lot of zooming in and trying to like, trial and error, punching into Google Maps.
Yes. The point is, I've been blind for a long time in my life. Well, it's a low, fuzzy blind, right? This is how it feels to read. So this was nothing. But yeah, Acid, this did take some triangulation. It took teamwork from you and me. It took...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were able to crack the code of what the hell this street sign says, and that was the key that unlocked it all. So we looked at the entire length of Gloucester Avenue. You Google pubs along Gloucester Avenue, and we narrowed it down to three potential ones.
Yeah.
And you kind of use street view to see which one was across the street from this kind of brick wall. One of them did, amazingly, and you could see the sign, Gloucester Avenue. So you, on street view, turn around, check it out, and you can see it's, we can reveal it now. It's the Pembroke Castle.
We don't gatekeep.
So it's, we checked the pub Instagram account, we looked at like photos that people upload to Google Maps of the interiors, and we matched the pub decor and the shape of the window, and we can confirm that this is the Pembroke Castle.
So excited, Acid!
I know, I'm like, it opens up so many questions. Okay, first of all, I want to know, what occasion was this? Was it someone's birthday drinks? Because it feels like there's a festive vibe, or was it just like after work drinks with office colleagues? And like, I want to know, what did Sonny order? What did Brennan order? And when Brennan ordered, did the bar person ask for his ID? I want to know who paid. Like, when they do things like this, like, I was thinking that. Like, does someone offer to open a tab, or is it KKB? And if it's a tab, I think it would be Sonny.
I think it's Sonny. Sonny, all that Samsung money and Calvin Klein money's got to go somewhere, you know?
Yes.
These are his boys.
Yes, totally. I feel like he's stepping into this big brother role for everyone. And the kuya always makes libre.
Yeah.
And like when they, I also want to know, how did they decide this pub? Like, is it like on the way to their houses from the training ground? And they're like, oi, look, guys, let's get a beer. I also want to know like really basic things. Like when they all arrive at the pub, like who goes up to the front of house and says, hey, table for seven. I also feel like it could be Sonny, but part of me feels like it might also be Ben.
Ben? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Or there's something about like Madders tends to kind of draw attention. So I'm wondering if in that situation, especially he's like the English guy in the group. I know Skippy is also there, but he's the extroverted English guy. And he's like, oh, this is my territory. I'll be the one to seat us. So he goes to the front of house and he's done. Anyway, there's so much
about this. Like, yeah, you're right. Where do they park? They all drive. Are they carpooling? Like, also, Mickey Van de Ven is really pretty.
Yes.
He's a freaking Ken doll. He is a Ken doll come to life. And that's just, it's a great photo. It's they look like they're having fun. Whose selfie hand is this? So many questions unanswered. Skippy, stand up. You're not an intern anymore. You deserve to be in this photo. But Asad, I guess when you're back in the UK, we gotta go to the Pembroke Castle, no?
We gotta.
And yep. we gotta recreate this photo.
Yes, I'll bring the bucket hat. You can wear the shades indoors.
Oh well. You know what? While we're at Ben Davis's posts.
Yeah.
There's
nothing
better left to do but to just dive in to Benny Boo. Benny Boo.
Yes. So while we're in the world of Benny Boo's Instagram, so he recently posted about like this hyping this guest spot that he did on a podcast called The Gab and Jules Show. Never heard them before, but when I saw that he posted, I immediately listened. It's amazing. We really recommend that you guys listen to it. All of our 12 followers, I check it out. It's really good. And if you wanna not be spoiled, maybe skip ahead. But if you want the top five highlights, here we go. Spoiler alert in effect. So number one, okay, this, I thought we knew so much about Benny Boo, but it seems like there's more that we don't, obviously. Yeah. But here on this podcast, they broke the news that Ben actually lived in Denmark as a kid. Do we know that? I didn't. Did
no.
Yeah, I didn't. So he lived in a place called Vibo in Denmark as a kid, and he lived there from 8 to 10 years old because his dad like worked for a Danish company, but like remotely or something. So this must have been like way ahead of his time. But then they moved him to Denmark. So yeah, Ben is basically an expat kid. And he was already kind of playing football when he was a kid. So when they moved there, he joined like a local club. And because like he was coming from nowhere, they put him in the sixth team. So like, and I really appreciated the snob moment from Ben. But at 8 years old, he was like looking at the quality of the sixth team. And he was like, "Dad, where have you sent me?" But quickly, I know it's so sweet, 8-year-old snobby Ben, I love it. But like quickly it was apparent that he was quality, so they moved him up to the first team, and yeah, he really shined and honed his technical skills.
Number one, I just want to say that Ben is really stepping into something. It's a new era. This dad era is so good for him. The fact that he's even posting Q1 photo dumps where we see this Gab and Jules screenshot, right? Like, this guy is clearly coming into his own, and it's just such a big journey for him, because like one of the things he talked about there as well is that his first Premier League salary was 400 British pounds per week with Swansea, right? That is 680 SGD per week, right? Yeah.
Yes.
That's 503 USD per week. That is 28,400 pesos per week. That is less than the London living wage, which I know it's inflation and whatnot, but it's 526 per week. How does that even exist? I know that as a salary, they probably, I don't know if their rent is already paid for because they stay at the club. I don't know, but so many questions with this, right? So there was an article in The Sun where he was being pitted against Yaya Toure, who made 250,000 per week. So do you see how like the discrepancy of like wage and talent and whatnot? And say Benny, you know, he even said that like some plumbers were messaging him asking if he wanted to work with them for a week just to like make ends meet, which is super sad and real. And this is really the ultimate universal like millennial experience of moving to a city with better opportunities and really having to make do with a shit and unsustainable salary until you hit it big, which honestly he may never have, but obviously he did. And still,
yeah,
it's pretty wild. I'm amazed.
I hope he's making more than that now, because he has his wife and his baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, because that's like, that sounds like nothing in the UK. Hashtag nice, cost of nice. Living crisis. All right, we're moving around the globe. Highlight number three, super coincidence here. In this podcast, he starts talking about this pivotal moment in his career, which happens to take place in Colorado.
No way.
So, yeah. That's football correspondent Toby's hometown. But anyway, so in Benny Boo's career, he was in the second team. And he wasn't quite being chosen for first team yet. He was like, I think he was like 18 years old or something. And this was with Swansea. And like, you know how clubs go on tour? The tour went on tour to Colorado.
Love it.
And he said that they played this game in the Colorado Rockies Stadium, which is actually a baseball venue. And he talks about it in such detail. And the hosts are like, oh my gosh, you remember? And he says, yeah, he vividly remembers everything. From like the entrance of the stadium to the way he played when he was finally subbed in the second half. And he said he remembered it because his performance was so good. Like he somehow unlocked another level at exactly the right time. And he super crushed it. He remembered how the game went, what it felt like to play in the altitude and how difficult that was because Colorado is like a mile above sea level. And he says that. And he says it was such a new experience to him. But he super crushed it. And finally, that's when the coaching team took notice of him. And soon after, he was starting regularly.
Aww.
So it's, yeah.
Benny Boo! And it's Colorado. So nice. What are the chances?
Exactly. Yes, I told Toby this and we're like, oh my God, if we ever randomly bump into Ben Davis, you have to say you're from Colorado.
Yes.
And you like
bond
over this moment.
That is the first thing you have to say. And when I meet Benny Boo, I'll be like, my cousin's husband is from Colorado. Yes.
Because it means so much to him.
It's
it really
so
does.
Much. Oh, no, he looked like he really enjoyed him. Clearly the vividness of that memory. And another fun fact from this super wild interview is that he talks about coaching and we've been joking around how Ben is a future coach. And he literally says, quote, I'm a guy who likes to plan for all eventualities. Come on! Of course, responsible kid. He says he's currently working through his coaching qualifications, which really makes sense because he hopes to get his license before he stops playing professionally. That is a planner. I love it. He wants to go straight into coaching rather than being one of those guys, quote unquote, who leaves football and takes 2 to 3 years to get a qualification. That's a man with a plan. I bet you he has Gantt charts. I am so excited. And you know what? I think Toby agreed with this, that it would be super great that after Ange, if Mason stepped up and then Ben was a member of the coaching team member. Are you ready for it, Acid? I am ready. My body is ready.
I want to see that. I think they'd be such a good team because both Mason and Ben have been around for forever, right?
Yeah.
So they've experienced coaching under Pochettino, who's brilliant.
Yeah.
Mourinho and Conte, who are legendary, and now Ange.
Yeah.
So I feel like they've experienced it as a player. Ben's the player, and like Mason's experienced it as a part of the coaching team. So I feel like together, their experience and their genius and their love for the club will just like explode. I'm so excited. Oh my God, highlight number three. Toward the end of the pod, and this is so throwaway. He casually says, my first son was born, and then he just keeps talking. And like, I froze, and I was like, excuse me, first? So does that mean a second is on the way? And neither of these hosts, Gabbers or whatever, nobody follows up. I'm like, hang on, everybody knows Ralph.
Yes.
So if he's the first son, if there's a second one, like, we want to know.
Clearly.
We want to know. Exactly. It's a great interview. There's some gems in there. They're about Harry and Son and Erickson. Check it out.
And guys, if you want more, that was just part one of his interview. There's a part two. And it looks like there's a spoiler alert, a teaser, because he talks about how Sonny is a godparent to Ralph. Holy shit. It's really, really cute. I can't even. And the reason why I love Benny Boo so much, apart from Benny Boo alone, is that Sonny loves Benny Boo. And there is this hilarious tweet from Hotspur Bay, which does a compilation of Sonny basically saying goodbye to Kevin Wimmer, former bestie, because every single time Sonny is asked, moving forward, who his best friend is, or rather, not even asked, he just refers to Ben as my best friend, Ben Davis.
God, at the part of this video, they ask who's your best friend, and he says Vimmer, and he's hooked up to a lie detector, and the lie detector says it's a lie.
It's
wrong. My God. Poor Kevin.
Poor
but
Kevin. I'm
Ben.
Sorry, it was short-lived, but I love this shit. I love that they're besties because it's just so, okay, I'm going to bring this up again. I brought this up to everybody I spoke to this week. I got sent this TikTok about Black cat energy, golden retriever energy. And supposedly in any couple, there's a black cat and a golden retriever. And this is for like hetero couples, okay? But I'm going to apply it to Ben and Sonny. Point is, they're saying that in a hetero celebrity white person relationship, the woman has to be the black cat with the energy, and then the guy has to be the golden retriever who like runs after her. Otherwise, if she's the one running after him, it won't work. It's doomed. So they say, well, whatever, gender stereotypes, blah, 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 blah. All that aside, I made the Sonny Ben Davis relationship made me think of this because Sonny obviously is the golden retriever and Benny Boo is the black cat. And it's just so cute.
Obviously. Oh my God. Obviously. Totally. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's so cute that it's always Sonny that is like my best friend, Ben Davis.
Yes. Golden retriever fashion. He does. He says, my best friend. But I think it's in the same video when Ben talks about it. He says, one of my best friends.
Exactly. That is unbothered black cat energy, which I need to learn, apparently. I am clearly acid. I'm clearly a golden retriever. It seems like you and Toby, you would be the black cat, no? I feel like you're a black cat.
I think
it switches.
Can you switch? Because I feel like I can think of examples where we switch.
Yeah, every person I've talked to goes like, can't you like, it's not just one way. And I'm like, okay, fair. I dove into like 6 hours of TikToks watching this and it was terrible. And so it really did a number to my psyche because I know I'm predominantly a golden retriever. I took there was this book called Sales Dogs that I took, and I'm again a golden retriever sales dog. So, you know, I'm just a golden retriever through and through. But yeah, you can switch. But Sonny, going back to Sonny and Ben. Ben is clearly the black cat. And Sonny,
clearly
my best friend, Ben Davis, is the golden retriever. But that is okay. And we'll be fine. And rip Kevin Wimmer. I'm so sorry to your friendship. When we're back, though, we could never, ever, ever, ever end this episode without our favorite segment. When we're back, BB of the week. And we are back. Welcome back to Stalking Spurs. Still here with Acid. And we are rounding out this episode with our favorite segment, BB of the week. But honestly, I think we just need to rename it to the Lloris family BB of the week because we thought that when Hugo left Spurs, that we would see the end of Maureen. We will not. We will refuse to let her go. They are living their best tan lives in Los Angeles. And honestly, Maureen is at her best with her hashtags, living her best life. So, first up, Maureen Lloris. So, Papa, of course, has an LAFC debut. And it also happens to be Juju's birthday. I can't believe she's 10. So Acid, Maureen posts a multi-photo post of the whole family on the pitch. The Jumbotron showing happy 10th birthday Juliana with her picture. Just celebrations and a wonderful thing. So the caption is, first game at LAFC and my baby's birthday. American flag emoji. Soccer ball emoji. It's not a football ball emoji anymore. It's a soccer ball emoji. Hashtag weekend. Hashtag soccer.
Soccer.
Hashtag LAFC. Hashtag new chapter. Hashtag birthday girl. Hashtag Juliana. Hashtag California. That's it.
I love this. I'm so happy for her. I'm so happy for this content.
This is the best case scenario for this family. Of course she would end up in LA. Where else would she approve? I bet you he got offered by like the, you know, Abu Dhabi, Qatar, all the Middle Eastern clubs, I'm sure were after him. I'm sure some of the European clubs were after him. Eastern Europe. But no, you know, the real boss in the household is Maureen.
For sure.
When she vetoes a club, she vetoes a club. And she's probably like, of course I want to be best friends with Victoria Beckham. This is it. This is where it's going. LAFC. I know that David Beckham is actually Miami, you know, Inter Miami, but it's LA, okay?
Yeah. And Victoria Beckham pioneered the move of that kind of soap. And also on like LAFC's Instagram, I saw like an interview with Hugo on his first day or something. And like somebody asked like, why did you guys choose LAFC? And he gave some reasons. And he also said like it was the best move for his family. And when he said that, I knew immediately it was Maureen saying LA. My family.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. She looked at the shortlist. She crossed everything out and she was like, it's LA. You don't go anywhere going after to London.
America.
America to play soccer. Yeah. Okay.
And we keep going. This next one is also from Marine Larisse. And she's documenting a lovely weekend that they had in the Santa Monica Pier. Check this out, multi-photo post of them, you know, just enjoying making
them.
Hay while the sun shines. If making hay means, you know, chilling out on a beach. And there's just, these photos are gorgeous. It's a lovely day.
Amazing.
You see Hugo pushing Leandro in a stroller. You see piggyback rides. You see palm trees. It's just, it's such a... It's like, yeah, they're on swings, they're riding roller coasters. It's like a 2024 cover of Mariah's fantasy music video in like multi-photo post form. It really is. I kept clicking through all of these pictures back and forth and back and forth, and the song just played in my head, and I'm like, yes,
sweet,
that's the vibe.
Fantasy. Anyway, we're all giddy. We love this for the Larisses. Continue living that best life. But wait, there's more. If you have a Santa Monica Pier weekend, of course you're going to have a Malibu Rising weekend. Hey, Taylor Jenkins Reid. I'm literally reading this right now. Very interesting. So this multi-photo post has the aesthetics of like a Lana Del Rey like music video of someone slitting their wrists on the beach except with sushi. Gorgeous. Gorgeous weather. Gorgeous girls frolicking in the sand. Caption is hi with a hi emoji, hashtag beach lifestyle, hashtag California, hashtag Malibu, hashtag peaceful, sun emoji, wave emoji, black heart emoji. We are in the black heart era because LAFC is black, of course. Oh my God, what is this life? I want to be there. And then, of course, we have her in like a leather jacket and like, you know, sunnies that are very LA. And her hair now is so much less like put together. Like it's a lot more like beach California cool. Like it's just like beachy waves. Yeah, I didn't even get to blow dry this morning, guys. It's that vibe. I love it.
I just went for swim. And,
yeah.
You know, I went straight
surf.
To get my
yeah.
smoothie.
Yeah. And my kale bowl. I don't know. I'm making that up.
Actually, our next triangulation project is this. We're going to find out where in LA they live.
Bring it on. Bring
yes,
it on.
Totally.
We can do
Game
this.
On. So, yeah. She put out this IG story, like, hanging out in a cafe near a recognizable lash bar. And, like, another story revealing, like, which facialist she goes to. And I know Los Angeles is sprawling, but we've solved similar mysteries before.
Oh, we can
so
do this.
Yeah.
We can do this. Plus, you know what? We can look at like real estate listings. I feel like there's already so many of those like celeb things anyway. You know what? Maybe they even cameo on like buying Beverly Hills or like selling Sunset. I feel like this is
yes.
that this is that kind of like brand synergy that the Larisses
yeah,
would
totally,
do.
Yeah, totally, totally.
I'm
yeah.
so excited.
And she's posted enough photos of the interiors and the
yeah.
like the pool area where I feel
yeah.
like if I just look at every realty listing, property listing, I'll be
we
able
will
to
hit
identify it.
It.
Yeah.
Acid, I know that you're, you know, currently fun employing, but
yes.
this is such a great project, honestly. Let's do it.
Yep.
Okay, sorry. Back to the BBs. I'm so sorry. We got sidetracked there with real estate. I'm so,
yes,
so sorry.
Yeah. I thought we were wrapping up already, but no, there's more. So check this out. Cutie Romero. Check this out. Caption is Mi Vida Heart. Cuanto te amo, Valen, which is see translation.
Valentino.
Oh, that's his name. My
Valentino
life.
Is
heart.
His name.
How much
yeah.
I love you, Valen, Valentino. And this is so babies and ice cream.
So
like
so
what
cute.
A classic combo. Look at
so
all of
cute.
These. There's stills, there's a video, there's a range of facial expressions. It's the if your day sucks, just look at this and it's just it'll warm your heart.
You know what? Cutty has such a bad boy vibe. But when he's around Valentino, I mean, still bad boy. We know he's tackled his son. But just very, very cute. Very, very cute. I love it so much.
Sweet.
But we wrap this up with a Mother's Day post that was not photoshopped. That's the only thing I'm going to say.
They did not dabble.
They did not dabble
in photo editing.
Photoshop. If you don't know that reference, why are you listening to this pod? Are you our audience? Anyway, so we get a Mother's Day greeting from official Spurs, Spurs official. And honestly, this is like throwback cuteness of it all. I mean, we get Matters, Hoibs, Emerson Royal, Udogie, and Brennan as BBs. And this is the mother load. This is what we only get snippets of in, you know, secret sometimes when somebody decides to do this. But like, how did Spurs official even harvest these? Because it's so hard to get the boys to locate and remember and submit these things. It's just, is it just that, you know, it's already on social that they screen grabbed? Or is there a WhatsApp team group? Did they call for entries and only these guys came back with the goods? Or were they just dealing with their mothers directly? Because that's honestly how you probably get things done. They have the mother's phone number and file, emergency contact, and decided to be like, hi, can you send us a baby photo? The Brennan one is super precious with the shades, but it's super interesting that I could tell that it was Hoibs without having to click on the tag.
Like, what, you know, gave it's it away him. For you?
It's his face. I think it looks like his kids. I don't know. Because the Matters one was kind of like, I was like, oh, cute baby, but not necessarily like, you know, it's Matters right away. Maybe I don't know Matters enough. But it's super cute, though. These outfits are amazing. The Hoibs one really looks like him. I don't know why. It just does, stood out.
Actually,
Emerson too, kind of looks like a young Emerson already. Yeah, there's that badassery there. Udogie, I couldn't tell at all. But Brennan was so cute. So, yeah. Guys, you know who won this round. We don't even have to say it. But once again, forever and always, congratulations to Queen Maureen for winning.
A dominant performance.
Dominant performance. Clean sheets overall. 3 points back to her. Congrats, Maureen. Keep giving the content. Keep living that LA lifestyle. We love you. We miss you. We don't miss you that much because you're giving us the goods, and that's how we like it. All right. If you are not following us on our socials, please do at Stalking Spurs on Instagram and on Twitter. We'd love to hear your entries, who you thought were the cutest babies and BB of the week. But also, are you going to help us stalk the Lurises in LA if you are listening from there? We would like to know. We need help. Acid, thank you for spearheading this entire episode.
And thanks, Patty, for always bringing the energy. And
that's what I'm known for, apparently, energy, which I muster up on Sunday mornings. Let's see.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time. Yeah, it's really good to see you. We'll talk next time. Maximum points for everyone.
Come on, you Spurs.